Blog Talk Radio.
Mari Moki Loni
Ma'arogun, Marin, Ayeh, Mother, Father, Creator God, I greet the new day. I greet the four directions that create the new world. You are now listening live and in archive to the Divine Prince, Pan-African spiritualist, practitioner, author, and advisor, Hudu Obeya Bokor, sharing with you in all things spiritual, mystical, metaphysical, cosmic, universal, evolutionary, revolutionary, healing, and holistic from a Pan-African hoodoo world spiritualist perspective. Understanding that all is indeed a blessing if you can just see beyond the veils, for it is all just an illusion and a test, and one of the greatest divine, all-blessed mysteries of this life cycle. It is our constant prayer, mantra, affirmation, reverberation, reiteration, and our reality. And it is crucial to the very foundation of my understanding, my teaching, my walk, and my works along this divine, all-blessed life path and journey. It is how I, the Divine Prince, make sense out of all that we are challenged with here in our daily existence on Mother, Father, Earth. And it is my personal place of power and understanding. The place from where I begin and the place from where I realize and crystallize all endeavors, understanding that I and I alone create and co-create my divine destiny, and I alone create and co-create my divine reality. And so it is. Ashe, Ashe, and Ashe. Alafia, Babo, Ni, you are now here with me live and always in archive at your leisure and convenience here on Blog Talk Radio for the Power Lunch, Hoodoo New Orleans Voodoo Secrets and Recipes, here on IFA Wednesday, September 19th, 2012. And we are emanating and vibrating with you and for you, virtually, verbally, cosmically, quantum universally, from the working temple of the House of the Divine Prince, Taya Mecca, here in this legendary city of New Orleans, Louisiana. And, of course, my illustrious co-host, Baba Oregunwa. I believe from Oakland, California. If I'm wrong, you'll correct me. But I believe you're in Oakland, Baba. You have to help me with that. Let me go to the line. Area code 510. Is this Baba? 510, are you with me? Caller at area code 510-290, are you with me? Okay. That may or may not be Baba, and I may or may not be having an issue with my switchboard. So I will have to check that out. But at any rate, we are broadcasting today live. IFA Wednesday is here with you on the Power Lunch. And we are continuing our present theme, a possibly ongoing theme of mental health and Orisha lifestyles. And surely Baba Oregunwa will be with us momentarily on the phone lines here for the broadcast. I do believe we also have Goddess Mother of Orisha Super Queen present with us as well here today for the broadcast. And I offer and welcome each and every one of you to join us at area code 347-215-8967. Area code 347-215-8967. When you are ready with your question, comment, or request, do press the number 1 on your telephone keypad. And we will be more than happy to assist you, remembering that all is truly and indeed a blessing. Ashe. Today we are celebrating, honoring Ifa Wednesdays. I want to quickly go to the phone lines and do a roll call to be sure that I have my co-hosts online and that our switchboard is indeed functioning properly. If you are picking up any extra audio, please know that it's completely out of my control. Some of you remember me posting a picture of the tree that fell on our house during Hurricane Isaac. I guess that was, 3 weeks ago? And they are now cutting up this tree. And it's a really big tree, really big, big tree. Some portions of the tree are probably, I want to say, 4 feet thick in circumference, or maybe even a little bit bigger. It's a pretty big tree. So they're out there with their power equipment chopping up this tree. So, if you can hear it and it interferes with the show, my apologies. But I am going to go to the phone line. Erico 504, is that the goddess? Peace and blessings, beloved. Can you hear me? Erico 504. Okay, I hear her talk in the background, so she's occupied. Okay, let me go to area code 510. Is this Baba Origuwa?
Yes, sir. I am here.
Give thanks. I was beginning to wonder if my switchboard was acting up. I certainly appreciate your being present and responsive when I open your line.
Ashe.
And I want to allow for you to, of course, give your greeting, and then we will move forward in our topic, continued topic for today, mental health and Orisha lifestyle. And, of course, we're going to begin to incorporate some Obatala knowledge and energy in the discussion.
Ashe.
I did want to allow you a greeting if you wanted. otherwise.
Oh, I'm sorry, I misunderstood. Yes, thank you so much. Blessings and greetings on today, the day of Ifa. Also, it's Ose Ifa, so Ekwo Jose Ifa, Aboru Aboye, and blessings to all of the good people who are listening live or will be picking up the archives. I really am thankful to Olodumare and all of the divinities and the ancestors who brought us up to this moment. And I really sincerely hope and pray that we can invoke the good wisdom, the mother wit of the ages, as well as our good common sense to really allow the understanding of mental balance to permeate our understanding, because we'll be talking about balance and imbalance, but my sincere prayer is that we will be able to really resonate with the spirit of balance and harmony and order, so that each and every one of us can go out with the healing energy to speak restorative words and demonstrate gestures that help promote mental stability and mutual understanding between ourselves and our loved ones. Ashe.
Ashe, Ashe, and I most certainly do support and humble myself for that prayer and ask that Olodumare in the heavens would reciprocate, if you will, by indeed fortifying today's show with something that we can all use and take away into our individual lives, but also into the community as it relates to not only mental health, but Orisha lifestyle. And an introduction to some and reminding to others about the importance of Obatala and the role that Obatala energy plays in our journey. I'm going to just play one more song, and then I'm going to come back and we're going to move right into the topic. We, of course, will be going frequently to the phone lines today at area code 347-215-8967. We will be responding to your questions, comments, and requests. And, of course, in all things, we truly do give thanks. Ashe.
So.
Obatala. Bye-bye.
Casi, Obatala desde la Ború, desde la Voce, desde la Bocheche, Ayaguna Leibo, Ochagriñán, Yekun Yekun, Obamoró Lela, Orizampagua, Obatayana, Obataiza, Obatala Cancasi, Obatala Virinigua, Nigualano, Eruayé, Baba Fiedenu, Odungaremu.
Ah. cholo, la fun cholo, la fun cholo. Ochala la mi bacheo, baba vole 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 vo. Baba o chikambo, calamba y alguna ley vo.
Iwani Orisha, Julo Nase, Iwani Aluwa Awa Ori, Iwani Aluwa Awa Abapa, Iwani Aluwa Awa Mimo, Iwani Aluwa Awa Alafia, Iwani Aluwa Awa Ti Awa Ati, Aku Ipilesi. I humble myself before the mystery of Obatala. You are the father of the Orisha. You are the most powerful Orisha. You are the mother of Orisha. You are the most powerful Orisha. You are the owner of the mystery of consciousness. You are the lord of the mystery of balance and equality. You are the owner of the mystery of purity. You are the owner of the mystery of peace. You are the owner of the mystery of the feminine and the masculine principles. Ashe. And indeed, Obatala, for me, is very personal. Obatala shows up in a major way in my Ifa Odu and plays a large role in almost everything, if not everything, that I say, do, believe, or stand upon. In reality, we need Obatala to effectively be healthy and clear, for Obatala represents clarity in many paths and in many understandings. And for true clarity, we need the support, the healing, the teaching, the ashe of Obatala. We generalize Obatala to consciousness or to the head, more specifically. And I'm sure Baba or Gunwa would agree or even have more to say about there being many aspects to that, to include what we've talked about before, the necessity for understanding of Ori and being balanced in our lives as well as in our walk in Orisha lifestyle. But our need for Obatala, and not only our need for Obatala, but the usage and dependence of all the Orisha on Obatala is tantamount to the foundations of our tradition, whether it be Ifa, Lakomi, Santeria, what have you. The absence of Obatala is the absence of clarity. Would you agree with that, Baba Origunwa?
I would agree that without Obatala, we certainly lose that what we would call the perspective and the patient putting together of things, and likewise when we look at how Orisha manifests in general. Of course, Obatala is that clarity because he is a creative being. Obatala is, you know, Olodumare's chief artist. And so in many ways, Obatala is the world's first artist, right? And so he's creative and he's imaginative, and that often gets him into so much trouble. And so it is his clarity that also clouds his vision in many times.
You're muffled just a little bit, Baba.
Oh, excuse me. It's
okay.
Is this more clear?
Yes.
Okay. It's Obatala's clarity that also clouds his vision at times. It confuses his perspective. So, for example, in the famous story of Obatala and Shango, where Obatala was in prison, the imprisonment of Obatala, you know, he knew beyond the shadow of a doubt that where he was going was a good place. He was friends with Shango. He had no reason to believe that any trouble would come to him. But when his wife, Yemo, awakened that day, she says, Baba, I had a dream. It was a terrible dream. All of your fine white clothing was dirty and sullied. It's a bad omen. Don't go on this trip. But Obatala was so clear. He knew there was no reason why he would have trouble. But still, he went to consult Ifa, and Orumila also told him, the signature here is it speaks of negativity. You should not go. Stay home. But still, Obatala was so clear. He was so certain, you know, this can't be right. I'm going to see Shango. And he went, and he found Shango's horse. He was falsely accused of stealing the horse. He was imprisoned and, you know, kept in a very small, dirty cage week after week. And in his anger, you know, he started to punish Oyo, and there was sickness, there was drought, and finally Shango went and, you know, he went to Ifa, and Ifa told him there was someone in prison. And so then when Shango found it was Obatala, he apologized and things were restored. But there are many instances like that where yes, it's Obatala's clarity, it's his certainty that he knows how things are going to be. He knows the nature of things or how they should be. And that precludes, or that obstructs, in a better way, it obstructs his ability to take the reality of the moment and do what's best for right now. And, you know, he learns great lessons from that. And those are the things that elevate him to a higher place. And make him, you know, worthy of that position of being the arch divinity.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't disagree with that at all. In reality, nothing new has been created that is not under the leadership, if you will, of Orisha Obatala. And without that guidance, without that understanding, I think we do ourselves a disservice, ultimately, not just in our life paths, but even in terms of how we confront mental health and Orisha Lagaga. It's important that we, in all things, take the time for clarity in our understanding. There's a spirit, I call it, present in our culture today that push the shortcut, that push getting something for nothing, that push avoiding work, avoiding effort, avoiding all the things that really help us to build character and power and ashe in any endeavor. And I think that to take that shortcut in consciousness is a travesty and a deadly mistake, and often leads many of us into mental health. The Buddhists believe that all of our suffering is ego-based, and that if we just address ego and false ego and, you know, illusions of ego and all the other types of ego that we deal with, that we will find that we can find centering and peace even in that, even with that as a platform. Everything else is just added joy at that point. So I think it's really crucial with the availability, and I say this all the time, the availability of information. Many of us have a richer romance, but we're really not getting the fundamentals as you lay them out in Orisha Lifestyles, and the platform or foundation for why we do things and why we think things and how we even process things. I think we often look outside ourselves for solutions, even in mental health. And sometimes that's medication. You know, medication is not always the answer. Sometimes that's therapy. Therapy does not always work for everybody all the time under the same circumstances, you know. So I think it's crucial that we not only go within, that we have some foundation of understanding and relationship with Ori, but that we definitely have a foundation and relationship and understanding of Obatala and that role in our lives and in our Orisha lifestyles.
You know, when there's a couple of things that come to mind when you were describing that, which is, you know, going back to the beginning, where, you know, Obatala comes from heaven to earth, and he brings heaven to earth. And, you know, you start talking about, okay, we're going out of ourselves, going outside of ourselves. A lot of times, you know, you can read the mythology literally and say that heaven is a physical location, earth is a physical location. When Obatala came down, he landed at Ilefe, which is a physical location. The world, you know, it expanded and spread, and then, you know, he was creating and drunk the palm wine and got drunk and then started making mistakes. And we can take all of that literally, and I think that's fine. I do believe in many of the literal depictions of the Odu. And at the same time, though, we can take it alchemically. We can take it metaphysically, and we can look at things like Ileife as the umbilical cord, the source of our existence. Each one of us is Ileife. We are the, you know, we, each of us is the source of the universe. We are the wellspring of life and creation. We are the place, our physical being is the place where Obatala descended into and planted life and allowed it to expand, you know. And when we look at it that way, the benefit of it is that we can see that the Obatala consciousness within us will allow us to create a world for ourselves, that world will be able to sustain our lives. But that world is fragile. Our consciousness is delicate. And if we partake of that palm wine, whatever it might be, you know, metaphysically, that thing that will set us off balance and confuse our judgment, then we too will become creators of things that are out of balance. And those become our behaviors, those become our speech and our habits that we do that just are constantly putting things out of balance. But the only way for us to really put that into perspective and take control of it is to hold ourselves accountable for what we think, what we do, what we say, and what the impact of those things are on ourselves and the people around us. And I think those are the kinds of things that make, you know, mental health the kind of introspection and reflection that we need to integrate into our mental health practice, because Ebo is effective, but you know, it's the lifestyle. You can't you can't make the Ebo and then and keep the habit. It just, you know, they counter, they, yeah, you're going to end up undoing everything. So at a certain some point, if we want to get better, that's why we're in this. We want to improve our lives. If we really want to get better, at some point, we got to be as enthusiastic about looking within ourselves, doing what you were talking, you know, checking the ego, and having the courage to start digging deeper into our unconscious, examine our dreams, and really take stock of what's going on inside of us, so that we can, you know, we can act accordingly.
Sounds like you're saying really do the inner work.
Gotta do the inner work. It's super duper important, and I think Obatala epitomizes that in so many ways, because that's why he's the patron of albinos. He's the patron of people with Down syndrome and mental retardation. He is the one who keeps those people in the most traditional setting. When a person has one of those kinds of a condition, those people will go and live with Obatala. So the Obatala shrine doubles as a mental health facility, because Obatala takes responsibility for having produced those people. It's not a one-shot deal. He knows that this is now I have introduced this into the world. I will be forever accountable for that that vibration. For those people who are in that condition, I'm going to take responsibility for you. And so in some regard, yeah, all mental health professionals are children of Obatala. All social workers are children of Obatala, because they're responding with that call of Obatala and within themselves to say, I'm going to take care of these people. I'm going to tend to these people. I'm going to help them to be able to live a productive and happy life.
Ashe, I so, you know, understand that. And two, there's some patakis that suggest that not only has Obatala taken responsibility, but it was his responsibility. And I'm sure you're familiar with the story of him, you know, drinking too much palm wine and getting intoxicated. And for me, that pataki is not so much about, let's say, overindulgence, making an error, taking responsibility for your actions, though it is. But I think it also suggests that there's a divine purpose in all things created, that the divine creators take responsibility for all its creation, and that we all have a role, we all have a value, we all have a purpose. And spirit takes responsibility. Clearly, Obatala takes responsibility, and so too we must take responsibility. Again, we tend to over focus on outside of ourselves, doing the physical act of Ebo, the physical act of worship, the physical act of having shrines that look good and speak a certain message to the looker, onlooker. But, you know, symbolically and literally, no one knows but the Egun and the Orisha what's really going on in those pots, what's really going on within you, what's really going on within your head and your vessel and who you are, where the real magic is being created, where the real ritual and foundation is being performed and laid down. So it's critical. It's ever critical, just as critical as Egun, just as critical as Ori, that we understand and acknowledge and bring that back into our communities, into our families. We have a very popular local Babalawo here, Baba Jino, who's actually in Nigeria right now for the Obatala Festival. And I shared back some of those photographs on my Facebook page at www.facebook.com/thedivineprince. And one of the photos is of a offering of snails for Obatala. And it has started a heated debate on my page about several different things. You know, one person responded negatively to the photo because they clearly did not understand that, that this was an offering for the deity and was not a appetizer, if you will, that people were going to be sitting around partaking on, and went into this whole thing about the Bible and Christianity and what we should and should not eat. And it set up a viewpoint, if you will, for lack of better words, for me, to sort of see how we are still even today dealing with forces in our culture, in our society, that want to directly affect how we think, how we identify, how we self-identify. What's God? What's Caesar? You know, what belongs to the government? You know, all of these things. And even when we suggest freedom, consciousness, you know, I'm doing the African thing now. When we're confronted with the real stuff, particularly for those of us who understand the mysteries and know what's going on, it becomes real obvious that we're still in war in terms of even having the same ground to operate on, not only in terms of religion in this this culture and country, but in terms of mental health and bringing those two things together. I remember the first time I told the therapist that I talked to beings that were not physical. You know, the look on her face, you know, was assuredly I had a problem. And I had to take a lot of time to explain to her, beloved, that's not my problem.
Right.
That's my gift, and that's why I'm able to be here and address what the real problem is. But if that's not being, you know, projected by us, if we're not showing that, demonstrating that, doing that, letting people know, look, I was here and now I'm here because of Orisha, you know, because of Orisha lifestyle, because of the philosophies of the Odu. I'm amazed at all we know about Orisha, and we don't understand Odu the same way Christians understand the Ten Commandments. You know, it should be a part of our everyday process. So when you're trying to stay healthy from a mental health perspective, and you are able to separate, you know, what is in balance and what needs some work, but then you're buffeting by your friends sometimes, your family, your coworkers, you know, the system itself. It becomes quite a challenge. So some people were really upset about the snails. I mean, it created an uproar of sorts on Facebook, but it opened up dialogue about other things, other insecurities, other misunderstandings that we have truly about indigenous African traditional religious paths. And of course, I don't see any comments from you, so I wanted to give you also an opportunity to look at that when you got a chance and maybe even comment on.
Well, you know, again, when it sparks in my mind this a lot of the questions of mental illness, particularly in our community, African American community, a lot of it comes out of that those skeletons in the closet, so that when a person like a person will see something. This has been my experience. When a person sees something and they have this knee-jerk reaction to it, if it's snails, if it's my SU, if it's the ancestor, you know, staff, whatever, I've had people come and they have this real strong knee-jerk reaction, you know, and it is the epitome of superstition, you know. they see it, they think they know what it is, they know it's something, but their response to it is totally irrational. There's no way to bring any kind of reason or logic or that clarity or patience to the situation. They're just completely convinced. They're stuck. Ooh, there's no, I can't, I'm just, that's bad, that's something. And they're just gone. I found that many, many times it is rooted in a distortion of something else that they know. It's a distortion of a primal impulse that at some point somebody rejected. So, you know, in simple terms, this is a family that was a voodoo family to the eyebrows, and at some point they rejected it, they made it into something that they should completely fear and run away from, and there's no explanation, there's no negotiation, it's just that wicked and bad. Get away from it and keep it away from me. But if we were able to soften our hearts and forgive whatever we feel the offense is, if we feel we offended or someone else had offended us, then that would allow us to no longer be captive and enslaved by these misperceptions. And it does bring to mind a verse, the of Ephah, that tells us that Arumila said that when Obatala wakes up, if Obatala committed an offense or not, let him kneel down and pray for forgiveness and perform a sober prostration. Arumila said that when his disciples wake up, if his disciples have committed an offense or not, let them bend down and offer and ask for forgiveness and perform a sober prostration. Ephah, we are begging you today, you who is the owner of abundant palm oil, who shall never consume palm kernel oil. That means you'll never commit a taboo. You know, and that's sort of the underlying thing, is that taboo that's committed and we don't understand the impact of it. We just run from it or we ignore it. But the taboos also contribute considerably to a lot of the mental disturbances. But Ephah, we are begging you today, you who is the owner of abundant meat, who shall never eat bones, the sins that we commit openly, please forgive us. The sins that we commit secretly, please forgive us. The sins of our mother's lineage, please forgive us. The sins of our father's lineage, please forgive us. The sins that we commit to implicate others, please forgive us. The sins that others commit to implicate us, please forgive us. Ephah, please help us to beg Olodumare to overlook all sins. Ose is begging Irete. A child will never beg his father for the father to refuse to help. Ephah, please do not quarrel with us. The ingredients used to feed the Eking can never fight with the Eking. He comes and he leaves interceding and forgiving. When Ephah meets with a good owl, the holy palm of Ephah will surely forgive us all of our various sins. I know the word sin might throw people off because we're obviously not talking about biblical sin. We're talking about things that are offensive, things that put things out of balance, things that create distortions and confusion and suffering in our lives and the lives of others. And I love that particular verse because it tells us that the deities, beginning with Obatala, is asking for forgiveness for mistakes. But we're also looking and we're saying the sins of my father and my father's 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 father, please forgive me. Let me be released from that. If the sins of my mother's father.
My apologies. When I heard you say that, my mental thesaurus was open, and I was hearing generational curses. That's
yes.
What I was hearing. Freedom from
yes.
generational curses. Freedom from the negative energy of myself, of my parents, of other people, Mm-hmm. You know, that which is done ignorantly, that which is done in the darkness. I heard all of that in what that Odu spoke.
And imagine how much mental baggage you let go if that's your part of your mantra. If that's something that you're really invoking and carrying out every day, you're, the a lot of the neuroses and pathologies that people are carrying on is because we just are we're just holding on to stuff that we inherited. You know, some of it like Feud and Hatfields and the McCoys. People don't even know what they're angry about. People don't even know what they're depressed about. People don't know the source of what they why they're suffering. But the habit is that I'm trying to constantly defend myself, protect myself, and I'm fighting imaginary ghosts or ghosts from years long gone. Beg forgiveness for the people who offended you. You know, once you get your own self up to speed, even beg for the people who offended you. That let them go. Don't let all that stuff hold you down and keep your mind, you know, spiraling around negativity and spiraling around conflict and spiraling around anger and suffering. That's not productive and it's not going to help you.
Ashe, and that brings to mind the one of the roles, if you will, of doing the Ebo.
Yes.
I know for me, when I begin to amalgamate from previous path into Lakomi-specific tradition with Mama Yeye, one of the things that I had to confront with for myself was all the work that I had done, the ceremonies I had been a part of, the so-called initiations I had been a part of, that were now not necessarily being considered enough and having to redo some things in order to line up with the rules of that tradition. And at first it was very difficult for me. I went through different emotions, anger, resentment, wondering, you know, well, what was I doing? What was I thinking? What was that person thinking? You know, how could I have put myself in this position? And, you know, all kind of emotions came through. Some of them valid, others maybe not so valid. But she settled the storm by bringing into clarity for me the role of Ebo. She said, little baby, because that's what Mama Yeye called me. She said, that's your Ebo. She said, have no negative feelings about your Ebo. Your blessing is caught up in your Ebo. And there are things that we do. Some of us use fear as an excuse for not moving forward in the traditions. Well, I've spent money. I'm going to lose money. Well, who do I trust? This, that, and the other. And all of that is a part of our Ebo in terms of our sacrifice that we all make in life. We all walk out our door every day, and we're at the will of the weather. We're at the will of the deities in terms of the true flow of life. So that's our Ebo. And we either find joy in our Ebo or we find negativity in our Ebo. But it truly feeds and is connected directly to our blessing and ultimately to our manifestation, what becomes our manifestation, what becomes our everyday reality here in the walk. So doing the work became joyful for me from that point on. Another way of looking at it is, you know, you're coming out of the store and there's the guy asking for change. And some people say, you know, I'm not giving up nothing, you know, get a job. The next person says, well, you know, I'm going to give them a little something. And then the third person says, well, you know, you shouldn't do that. You know, you don't know what they're going to do with that money. And the second person says, that's my Ebo. Okay, what they do with it is not my responsibility. I'm responding to spirit. I'm responding to what Agungs tell me to do, what Orisha tell me to do, what spirit tells me I need to do to be clear, to be balanced along my path, and the blessings then come. And we don't often see where that blessing is. So tying that back to mental health, I think sometimes we seek answers about stuff that can lead to mental health. Definitely when you're talking about childhood abuses, many of you know I come from a very traumatic childhood upbringing, both myself and my sister. Well, Pine has already written 3 books about it. So I had to grapple over the years with responsibility as it relates to childhood trauma. You start taking on responsibility stuff that you had no role in, that you had no responsibility for as a child. You start thinking about why. What does that say about me? What does that say about other people? All this stuff comes into your head. And for me, a part of my healing was in accepting my EBO. I suffered so that I wouldn't have to suffer today. I walked then so that I wouldn't have to walk today and walk in the future. I laid down foundation through my struggle on Monday so that on Friday, Spirit would bless me and I would not be tied to that past. And for me, that was freeing. That was more freeing than anything I had ever gotten in church. That was more freeing than any baptism. That was more freeing for me, just being brought into that understanding with EBO. So we are not going to be able to have answers for why people did stuff to us, why we suffered certain traumas. We've got to embrace them. I think sometimes in the process we seek to separate them from us because they're negative, and we see it as unclean. We see it as garbage. So I need to set this in another room. I need to set this outside the metaphoric house, if you will. At the same time, dividing who we are, dividing our spirit, dividing our blessing, you know, breaking up the power of our EBO. Would you agree with that?
I would agree entirely, because the EBO, you know, this is why one of my favorite mantras is live the medicine. The EBO is gonna, you know, all the rituals are journeys. And so, you know, we say when you make the divination, that's where you get the roadmap. And that says, you know, you're here, the rocks are here, the ocean is here, the river is here, there's some bandits behind the trees over here, there's somebody who's going to help you over there. But that's just the map. When you start to make that EBO, that's when you start the journey. And as you make the journey, you have to, some of the things you have to undergo. Sometimes you've got to meet that hardship to be transformed. It's like before they would you would get the chicken pox. You know, now they vaccinate people against it, but before you would get it. People would, you know, it would be deliberate. They would set you up to catch it because your blood is transformed. You're different as a result of that encounter with the chicken pox. And so it is with all the other rites of passage. When you make that journey and you have those what would appear to be hardships, what appear to be abuses, what appear to be losses, and just unsolicited mistreatment, you know, those things trigger another form of consciousness. They awaken something inside of you that you would not voluntarily awaken. Now, not all things are desirable, and sometimes mistakes are made and things are done that just have to be simply corrected. But that doesn't change the fact that whatever has happened does have a purpose. It does have an impact. And my mental health, my ability to prosper and thrive, is 100% dependent upon me preparing myself to face that reality, embrace that reality, make the most of it, take from it what I need, get rid of what I don't need, and keep it moving.
Ashe. Eric Code 510, your hand is raised. Did you have a question or a comment?
I have a psychic question.
Sure. Who's calling and where are you calling from?
This is, I'm Tashin. I'm calling from California.
Sure. How may we help you?
Could you see where this relationship is going with me and Andre?
Okay, now we don't normally do readings live on air. So if you will, please go to the show page. You can get contact information for both myself and Baba or Gunwa. We will be more than happy to assist you. In terms of your question as it relates to today's subject, I think it's important that you address your head and how you move forward in this relationship. I think often we seek answers, not answers, but confirmation.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel to me right now, Tasha, to be seeking confirmation for something that you really already have an understanding of in your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you may be unsure about repercussions. You may be unsure about karma. You may be unsure about things that you may not be able to see, what you may assume you might be missing, if you will. But it is within you already the foundations for your destiny. When we talk about Ori, that's what we're talking about. And when we talk about Obatala, we're talking about the deity that actively created your being, that actively resides with you in your consciousness, that soft voice that we often refer to as God is the voice of Obatala. And we can help you to connect with that authentically, purely, and bring you some sense of confidence in terms of how you make decisions moving forward. I think sometimes, particularly when we're talking about love and relationships, our emotions have an effect on our thinking, because we isolate thinking to consciousness and emotions to a different realm of understanding or reality. We separate feelings sometimes, even from love, you know, which doesn't make sense to me, but we hear it all the time, you know. So I think it's crucial. First, I think it's spirit that you even called with that question today at this time. But I think it's crucial that you, wherever you are right now in your spiritual walk, take that time to connect with Obatala. Obatala is often symbolized by the elderly, an old man or an old woman. You know, our great-grandparents, our great-great-aunties and them, those people who have seen a lot, understand a lot, have a lot of wisdom, have a lot of guidance, but also can see us for who and what we are and can sort of help us to make the right decisions. They can't make the decisions for us, but they can help us to sort of focalize our energy and make those right choices. So some ebos, some rituals, some processes that relate to Obatala will be a powerful thing for you right now. I'm also going to allow Baba or Gunwa to comment, because I'm sure he's also going to have some comments for you. But as I said before, we will be more than happy to do an official, formal reading for you, but just not on air.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you really hit it, you know, on the nose. It's interesting. Yesterday, that exact same sentiment came to me, and I posted something on Facebook to that effect. It was a Joseph Campbell quote, But there's a photograph, if you would imagine, envision, you know, there's a photograph of a woman, and she's crying, she's got the tissue, and, you know, there's a man there who's behind her with his hand on her shoulder. He's consoling her and comforting her, and, you know, you can see there's something really intensely emotional. But of this, you know, the quote that Joseph Campbell gives that I applied to that image anyway was that we have not even to risk the adventure alone. We have not even to risk the adventure alone, for the heroes of all time have gone before us, which is a lot like what we were saying about this Odu before. The heroes, when we're talking about love and family and that kind of stuff, really, we're responding to something bigger. So what Tasha, you know, part of what will help is that it's great that you have this concern about your relationship and understanding that the relationship is what will allow you to help deliver on the ancestral promise. It's what makes you feel whole. This is someone who compliments you in a way or, again, brings out something in you that you just can't bring out by yourself. And that's not new to you. You're not the first person or the millionth person to respond to that very real need. Your mothers and fathers from the beginning of time have been doing that over and over and over again to get you where you are today. So it's wonderful to respond to that call and to want to make it work and find out, as the Divine Prince was saying, you know, hey, what's going to happen? If I make this decision or I make that decision, what's going to happen? Because this is one of the most important relationships that one has. But people have done it millions and millions of times before you. You don't have to go by yourself. The quote goes on to say that the labyrinth is thoroughly known. We have only to follow the thread of the hero path. In other words, what successful men and women have done in relationships since the beginning of time, it worked for them, it will work for you. And where we had thought to find an abomination, we shall find a God. Where we had thought we would find an abomination, we shall find a God. And where we had thought we would slay another, we will slay ourselves. And where we had thought to travel outward, we shall come to the center of our own existence, which is, again, that's the Eleife. That's the center of our existence. That's the core. That's the place from which all of existence has spread out from. And where we had thought we would be alone, we shall be with all the world. So I agree 100% with what you said, what the Divine Prince had said about, you know, get your head really clear, get really grounded within yourself. Face those fears about whatever decision. If you're deciding, if you're feeling like, man, this isn't going to work, here's the value what I find in terms of, like, mental health and relationships. Where people get confused is that we think that this person who I like or I love is actually completing me in and of herself. Just because I'm with her, now I feel like I you know, I have to be with her to get this feeling. But, man, I don't know what to do, because half the time I don't even want to be with this person. The other half of the time we're together, but I'm frustrated, or she's mad at me, or he's doing this, or, you know, so we're confused. Because what's actually happening, what ought to be happening for us to benefit, is I'm with this person, and I feel, let's say, negatively toward this person. So, okay, let me embrace that within myself. It's not about the other person. It's about me. Why do I feel negatively about this person? Why do I have negative thoughts about this person? What is it that's happening between me and this person that's triggering these negative responses within myself, if I know, in fact, that I want to be with this person, I love this person, I enjoy this person? That will teach you about yourself and your legacy, because it's going to take you back to things that you learned from your mother, things you learned from your father, things that they learned from their parents, and so on and so forth. Likewise, the same is true on the positive side.
Baba, please.
Why do I, what am I benefiting from? What is it that this person is bringing out of me that I enjoy? Why do I like to be with him? Why do I like to be with her? And then you start to learn, was I missing this and now this person is helping me find it? Is it something that I always have had and I just am so excited to be sharing it with somebody? Or, you know, whatever the case may be, you learn from yourself through that relationship. And by learning about yourself through the relationship, you become whole. You become complete, and you truly discover who you are and where everybody else is. Because once you start doing a few rounds of that, then you come to find out, man, the same things that I'm struggling with, my next-door neighbor is struggling with. The person I sit next to at work is struggling with. This lady on the bus is struggling with it. It becomes what Stephen Covey says, what's most personal is most universal. And so the deeper you find yourself, the more you find all of humanity.
And your Egums, your ancestors, are also speaking through strongly. And they even spoke through some of what Baba was saying. You know, you have some scenarios around you and in your past that deeply affect how you address relationships in the present. And it's important that you stay connected with your ancestors, acknowledge your ancestors, but also learn from their lessons. And in learning from their lessons, there are two things. You learn what direction you don't want to go, but you also learn that you don't have to be what other people are. You don't have to end up in the same path as people around you just because they're around you or just because they're in your ancestry or just because they're in your family. But ultimately, there's a lesson there for you to absorb. And without getting into your business, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So on the one hand, don't allow what you've seen, what has been demonstrated, to be a negative influence on what you do for yourself right now in this divine moment. But also learn the lessons. Don't close your eyes to the lessons that you've learned by watching other people and what they have done and how that now is coming into play in terms of how you make this decision. You didn't mention it, so this isn't specific to you, but children also play a role. And as Baba was saying, I think it gets even more complicated because you don't only have to now look out for your interests, but you have to look out for the interests of children. And sometimes that's not given proper priority and perspective. Particularly in love and relationships, which some people tend to look at as a very personalized thing. And Obatala is the guardian of all children. So even in your consciousness, in your contemplation, in your understanding, we have to be innocent like children, but we also have to value the place and the position of children, however that fits you, caller, and you, listener, to what is being said.
Okay.
Are you with us, Tasha?
Yeah, I hear you.
Did you have another question or comment?
No.
Okay, well, as we said before, please, we invite you to connect with us. If you are, you can just go back to the show page, blogtalkradio.com/thedivineprince, and put the hyphens in the middle. And today's show has both of our contact information. You can also contact us on Facebook. I'll give my address. He'll give his address, and we'll be more than happy to assist you. I'm at facebook.com/thedivineprince.
Yes, and I'm at the best place is at obafemio.com, obafemio.com.
Give thanks. We are here to assist you in your endeavors. And we invite you, listeners, to call in, be a part of the conversation. We still have about 40 minutes left in the show. We are taking your questions, comments, requests, contributions at area code 347-215-8967. Do press the number 1 on your telephone keypad when you are ready, and we will open your mic and invite you into the conversation. We are talking about mental health and Orisha lifestyles. We are talking about Obatala and the power of Obatala. We are talking about the foundations of Ifa and Orisha lifestyles and how to live a whole and balanced life. We will be forward with more Ifa Wednesdays here at high noon, U.S. Central Standard Time, on Blog Talk Radio with the Power Lunch, the Divine Prince, House of the Divine Prince, Tide Potions, and Hoodoo Central. All is a blessing. Ashe.
Ashe. You
said earlier in the show, I truly believe that we exist, Baba, in a culture that favors the shortcut.
Yes.
And there are some benefits to that, of course.
Yes.
You know, we're not harvesting our own food in the same manner we did, you know, even 100 years ago. We're not having to, you know, harvest wood just to heat the water, just to, you know, heat the house. You know, so technology, as Ogu ushers in technology, has its benefits, has its power. And I believe its purpose is to make certain chores, certain tasks easier to allow us the freedom to explore more of the spirit, more
yes.
of ourselves. But I think
yeah.
the imbalance that we are confronted with in present society is that that's not happening. We're using that time to be even more excessive in things that are not of our best interest. So therefore, we are manifesting in health problems, obesity problems, as well as mental health issues and emotional issues in terms of how we even address, confront, and view everyday life, what the 12-step program calls living life on life's terms. And now the just the simplest things seem to bring us such stress, such anxiety. And one of my particular pet peeves about the shortcut is in how we bring that into spirituality and religion. Particularly Ifa, particularly Lakomi, particularly these paths that require a process. And there's a reason for the process and understanding. And those who don't understand the process don't understand the reason for the process. And they're looking for the shortcut to the manifestation of something that's generally self. Indulgent, because if you don't understand the foundation, the root, the philosophy behind any given thing, then you're again operating out of ego. You're back into that place of ego again. We have to have some guidance, some leadership, some markers, designated perimeters, if you will, to establish. Not only to establish some frame of reference of what clarity is, but to also secure that thing. So when we talk about mental health and Orisha lifestyle, again, we're confronted with the conflict of interest, I believe, in doing things from a natural perspective, from a spiritual perspective, as opposed to from a perspective that is benefited or funded by a lot of money, a lot of corporations, a lot of pharmaceutical companies, you know, a lot of medical students who have careers to, you know, to pay for and lifestyles to pay for. And there's still that challenge there to even bring clarity. I'm still getting challenges, if you will, from the community about even what mental health is as it relates to black people, as it relates to spiritual people, as it relates to people who are operating under Orisha lifestyles. So how do we begin to bring some sense of clarity there and a foundation when we have so many forces that are actively operating to keep things confused?
Yes. Well, you know, I guess one of my emerging mantras and meditation along that line is the power of Orisha is in the lifestyle, not in the initiations. The power of Orisha is in the lifestyle, not in the initiations. Because I really want to emphasize that sentiment that we are so... Part of it has to do with the way the mind works and language, right? So language forms thought, and thought defines perception. And what you perceive defines what you will see, and what you see will define what you expect, and what you expect will define how you act. And then how you act, you know, it just is a trip. It's a domino effect. And because of the language, let's, you know, attribute some of it to the English language, is very sequential. But life is happening simultaneously. Right now we're here, but we're conscious of our past. We're conscious of what happened last month, last week in kindergarten. And on a certain level, we're even conscious of what happened in generations long gone, in previous lives. We have a level of consciousness. That's what 40 is. It's ancestral memory. But when we go to speak, we can't speak past, present, and future at the same time. Right? Nobody's going to understand that. So, like, you're in there with a therapist, and you're telling the therapist, hey, I can communicate with people who you don't see. Oh, this person is delusional. We can get him a shot of X and some Y. You know, he man's lost his mind. But that's because our language has formed our thoughts in a way that everything is compartmentalized between past, present, future, spirit, material. All those things are divided. Okay? So it forces us to be event driven. When I want to think about how I'm going to get better, you know, that's a great accomplishment. You want to heal yourself, you want to balance things out, fantastic. So what are you going to think? You're going to think about events. I'm going to take this pill. That's the event. I'm going to get this ritual done. That's the event. I'm going to undergo this ceremony. That's the event. I'm going to receive this charm or this divinity or this eleke. It's an event. And not enough attention is being given to the process. Are you even ready for that? What are you doing to prepare yourself to undergo that experience? Once you've undergone that experience, that event has come and gone, what are you now going to do? How are you going to be differently in relationship to that? And those are the things that are sorely missing from the creation of a lifestyle. So we're still living in the microwave lifestyle and trying to plug the principles of eternity, the elements of eternity, into the microwave lifestyle. And it just isn't going to work like that. Your E5 is not going to work like your MacBook Pro. It's just that's not what's going to happen. Your E5 is going to bring you back to the consciousness of a stone. That's what's going to happen. E5 is not going to speed up from you. E5 is going to make you slow down for E5, to slow down to catch the rotation of the earth, to feel the shift, to know that the wind has changed and there's something else coming in from the cosmos. You got to slow down for that. And that's what E5 is going to do if we're being taught that. And that's why I really appreciate what you do on these power lunches and in your other media. We've got to raise consciousness and awareness, first of all. People got to know. E5's not
speeding
up.
And I like the way I like the way you put slow down, because I've been looking for another way to say surrender to. And slow down is a good way of putting it. People ask me, well, you know, I've got crystals. How come I don't see what you see? How come I don't get the same experience? And I often tell them it's about a vibration, and there's a rhythm there, and you have to surrender to it. And it means not thinking, not processing all the time, not trying to put your judgment on things, not trying to color it, you know, view it through your glasses. And that's a difficult exercise in the beginning for most of us to learn to do. Many people talk about meditation and not being able to achieve silence in their meditation. How do you do that? And it's complicated. but it's a very simple thing. And explaining surrenderance is complicated. Doing it is simple when you have that understanding, when you get that you're not becoming less than, you're not shrinking to something, you're not becoming a victim of something when you surrender in a spiritual context. We also have a question or a comment from Goddess Mother Varisha. Alafia, Super Queen.
Alafia, everybody. Everything.
Could you speak
you,
up? Can you, speak
can you
up
hear
for
me? Hold on. Can you hear me now? Is that better?
Yeah.
Hey, Alafia, everyone. Everything that you two are saying, it's so on point. And as everyone knows, I've been going through stuff. I've been through stuff. And I'm going to comment what you were saying about the crystals. Some about the people saying why the crystals work for you and they don't work for them. During my transformation of my healing, there was points and times where I couldn't even hold my crystals when I was in my crazy because they would roll out of my hand. They would roll out of my hand. Crystals don't want to be bothered with all that mess. I just want to say that they really don't. And as far as all the stuff you're talking about for mental health and mental illness, however anyone wants to label it, you're just so on point. And I wish more people would call in and just address that because I see that people are either afraid or either they're embarrassed. And I know when I posted my videos, I've gotten some nasty little personal hate mail from people, but it's not going to deter me from sharing this and going forth with my healing because by sharing it, someone else is listening to this. It's not about me having, you know, the most hits on my YouTube page or a popularity test. I can give, you know, less than two dead flies about that. I don't care. I just need other people to heal. That's important to me, especially that now that I'm traveling in this path. It's not about my ego. I had to tell ego a couple of times, just shut up and go sit your butt down somewhere, you know, and let me do this. You know, if that makes any sense to anyone.
Yeah, it makes total sense. It makes so much sense, you know, because there was once upon a time I was working as a trainer. I did what we call personal sustainability training, and it was great. You know, we were talking about health and wellness. We were talking about recycling. We were talking about, you know, work-life balance and that kind of stuff. People were really comfortable, but then there were some areas, though, that you creep into that for us as American people, we believe in privacy and, you know, because individualism is so important for us that when it comes to something that it seems like, oh, that's private, then people will be listening, you know, attentively and after the fact, you know, they'll approach you individually, you know, and say, hey, you know, I want to know more about this, or I have a problem with that. But it takes a while for people to develop that confidence that they're going to get help, they're not going to get judged. You know, the American psychology, and I'm just assuming that 99% of the people who are listening are American, and if they aren't, then, you know, no offense, but the American psychology, when we're trying to learn another language, you know why Americans have a hard time learning another language? Because we don't like to be wrong. Mm-hmm. When we say the word incorrectly and the person who speaks the language is correcting us, we do feel like, oh, man, that must mean he's saying I'm stupid. Or, you know what I'm saying? We have all these complexes about not having all the answers.
Yeah.
And it makes it difficult for us to humble and say, you know what, I got a problem. I can't solve it. And men in particular, men are far, 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 you know, a harder nut to crack because we really don't like to say, I don't know, I got this wrong, I need some help. But it's little by little, we keep creating the platform, we keep reassuring people, we keep giving people the opportunity to speak up and to act for their own benefit, and more, you know, you will see that they'll come out. And God willing, even the ones that don't come to you or don't come to me or don't come to the divine prince, maybe they'll go to their sister maybe they'll go to their father, maybe they'll go to their mother, and they'll have, you know, those conversations that they have been burying down for so many years. But don't give up hope, and you know what I mean? Know that people are out there and they're listening, and they just, many of them are just choosing the right opportunity to go forward. And for the people who are there, who are listening, who are on the fence, who are unsure about whether or not, you know, you should move or you should act, you know, if not now, when? You know, if you're hearing the message and it resonates with you and you really do feel like, hey, I do have some kind of a mental, emotional obstacle. Something has me in a holding pattern. No matter what I do, I can't make my relationship work. No matter what I do, I can't improve in my job. Well, no matter what I do, I can't let go of this anger. No matter what I do, I'm not able to progress the way I want to progress. Then don't. How much longer are you going to go around and chase your tail? How much longer are you going to pretend that eventually you're going to figure it out? Take the opportunity, reach out, ask for help.
I say that couldn't be any more clear, for sure. And if it makes some of you listening feel any better, you know, Sister Avanon,
yeah,
the recovery room says that we all got mental health issues. It's impossible to, in her opinion, to be a black African born in America in this system, as she would say, and not have some mental health issues, not have some stuff that you need to confront with. We've been through a lot of history in this country just in the last 60 years. And I'm not assuming that we don't have listeners who are older than that, just as we have listeners who are not American, Baba. This is an international show. So we do have people listening in other countries. But I think the topic is still relevant globally. We're dealing with a lot of stuff on planet Earth right now. Wars, you know, to quote scripture, wars, rumors of wars, you know, mothers against daughters, fathers against sons, you know, truth becoming the lie becoming the truth, and everybody's confused. Everybody is confused. So to then have it manifest in some form of mental health doesn't make you odd. Doesn't make you crazy, doesn't make you unusual, you know, doesn't make you weak or weaker, if you will, than the next person. You know, we all have skills. You know, I've been accused of being a little more skilled and internet savvy than some people, you know, and I may be guilty of that. But so we're not all, you know, skilled in the same thing all the time in the same way, you know. So to need that assistance and to seek that assistance is a strength. To continue to deny it, as Baba just laid out, and to not do anything about it, that's the tragedy. And it becomes the foundation for the generational curse, as was so eloquently laid out in the Odu.
When I work with people at times around that generational piece, that's a big, giant chink in the armor. You know, people have made their identity out of that struggle. You know, they've been fighting against these generational curses. They've been fighting against their father, fighting against their mother, fighting against their grandmother, whatever, for so long that they're unable to perceive of themselves without that fight. And so it becomes, you know, like a grudge. They become like a tree stump. You know, you chop the tree stump, it's impossible to get that bad boy out. You're going to go around it. But it's an identity that keeps you stuck, though. It keeps you stuck. Booker T. Washington told us that the only way you can keep a person down is to, you know, is to stay down with them. If you're going to keep your knee in somebody's back and keep them in the gutter, you got to stay in the gutter with them, you know. And you can't I mean, you can't reasonably say that your life ambition is to live in the gutter so that you can maintain a grudge against somebody else. That's not your destiny. That's not your highest calling. That's not serving your greatest good. That's not blessing your children. That's just being right. Or being able to feel like you're being right. Again, you know, serving that ego. But the tricky part of the ego is that the ego only wants to perpetuate itself. It's not working for you. The ego's not working for you. The ego is working for itself. And it'll trick you into believing that it's everybody else's fault, and it's all about everything but the truth, which is that you're making decisions every second of every minute of every day, and your decisions are worthless.
And in my practice, I like to trick the ego, because you can't confront the ego often directly. So I will often ask the question, how is that working for you? You just said it. How is that working for you? I don't say, no, that's not right. You know, yeah, that's wrong. I say, how is that working?
Right.
And now you're here requesting assistance. So how is that working for you? So at some point, we have to get up off of insanity, doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result.
Yes. Yes. Because you're gonna get what you've been getting if you keep putting in what you've been putting in. And it's just the reality of it, you know, and hopefully the people who are listening will take it as an invitation to really do something different. A significant part of the Orisha lifestyle also comes out of really simplifying it when you start to connect the web of chain reactions in your life, where you start to see what things also occur simultaneously, or you know when your high season, when your good season, and when your dark seasons are in your life, when the favorable times of the day are for you, and you start to find out what works for you and works against you, then you can be strategic about picking the highest impact habits and behaviors, making those fundamental, real core, real strategic agreements with yourself and your spirit that will have a big impact on your improvement and restoring your head. So a lot of times also what will slow a person down around mental health is you can't see the forest for the trees. You know that you got money problems, and you know you got relationship problems, and you know you got legal problems, and you know you got bills problems, and on and on and on. And you just don't know where to start or how any of this is going to make a difference. But when you can see how all of these things are interconnected, and you can identify a single point, a strong point or a weak point in your problems, then you can know, hey, when I do this one thing, that is going to benefit five other elements of my life. So, for example, there was one person who I worked with who I always use this man as an example because it's simple and it's understandable that, you know, people can grasp. He had a habit of smoking, okay? He was a smoker, had been a smoker for over 20 years, and he had tried to quit many, 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 many times, and he had failed many, many, many times. And it wasn't until we started to connect the dots between his life, his lifestyle, you know, and connecting the dots between himself and his grandchildren and what smoking was doing for his relationship with his grandchildren and how it was going to impact everyone in the future, then he found the real strong emotional connection to his behavior and the things that he really loved. And then he was able, now we were able to start picking out, okay, when do you smoke? Why do you smoke? But the same thing can be said about when do you have fights and arguments with people? When do you get depressed? When do you become just confused, you know, what are the situations in which these things happen? Now let's start to work out one single action, one single agreement that you can make that will either minimize that as a problem or that will allow you to develop the strength and the skills and the ability to overcome that problem. You know, so simplifying it, making it easy and accessible also helps people to find a way out of habits and behaviors that have kept us, you know, in that holding pattern for sometimes decades. And then in this man's case, it was a case of a, you know, he had a kind of a chemical dependency on the tobacco. So all of the problems can be solved with agreements, with discipline, vision, and proper guidance.
And to a chemical dependence on food, it is crucial
yes.
that we address what we're eating, what we're putting into our bodies, what we're digesting, in terms of not just physical health, but spiritual health, mental health, and Orisha lifestyle. We all have certain taboos, certain things that we need to do or cannot do based on, you know, where we are in the traditions. But I think that the deeper meaning to that is that we have to be aware of what we're taking in, what we're putting into our bodies, and how we're feeding or not feeding our own nourishment, our own self-care in that way. The Christian perspective is that our body is a temple. So we can't expect spirit to dwell, to reside, to bless, to flourish, to prosper, and then we're still taking in, you know, garbage. And the same thing mentally, spiritually, emotionally. It doesn't hurt, you know, to turn the TV off sometimes. It doesn't hurt to sit in silence sometimes. It doesn't hurt to sit and listen to the wind sometimes, the birds talking to you outside sometimes, and allow nature and spirit and the Orishas to truly heal you and address your concerns and your issues and bring you to a solid place in terms of moving forward. We have a few minutes left in the show. Go ahead, Baba.
There's a verse that you know, when you look at the taboos, part of what really helps us understand why those taboos matter is because each of our destinies is different, is distinct, and unique. And so part of the Orisha lifestyle validates the sanctity and the divine origin of every individual destiny, so that you understand why your taboo really, really is so important for you, because it is something that's protecting you and being able to carry out the divine will of heaven. And there's one verse, for example, that, you know, emphasizes it, that tells us that when something happens, the wise know, but they never tell. The uninitiated feels, but they never understand. This was the message that was given to Alukosoaye and also to Aladundun Orun. Alukosoaye, listen carefully. Destinies are chosen differently. Please do not forget, destinies are differently chosen. And so, you know, what is good? One man's food is another man's poison. And what is going to empower one person's mind? So we live in this Western construct of reality, and generally speaking, it benefits the Western lifestyle, which is reinforcing people who come from a Western place. You know, so the foods that we eat are really good for people who have a certain constitution. What the entertainment that we consume is good for a certain kind of people. But in order for us to also be healthy and strong and really thriving, we've got to be also aware of what our unique constitution is, and that does come partly out of our collective consciousness. We are individuals, but we're also individuals that have been born out of other individuals who come from one place. So bananas don't somehow become oranges, chickens don't transform into giraffes, you know, and people who are originally from West Africa don't become people from China. You know, a log, no matter how long a log will sit in the water, it will not become a crocodile. So your destiny is what it is. And part of your health, mentally, spiritually, physically, is being acutely aware of who you truly are and then acting accordingly.
Ashe. I want to give thanks. I don't know if some of you might have heard somebody knocking at my door a little while ago. Over Coastal, Sean Go showed up at my door with gifts.
I said,
yes, indeed. Marcus Akinlana, who is a Shango priest here in New Orleans, but also a powerful master artist, dropped by and left me three masterpieces for my birthday that he had been trying to get to me now for some time. So forgive me for not having my webcam on. Otherwise, I would be showing them to you now. But as you know, they'll be on my Facebook shortly. Just give me a chance.
I should.
Photograph them and post them. But the one that really sticks out for me is the Middle Passage. And it has a woman, a huge woman, almost the same size as the ship. But she's jumped over into the water. And then along her body are images of enslavement. But also present in the picture is the energy of Yemaya, who is my mother, and the ever-present cleansing and purification process that's always present in every endeavor, in life, if you will. So we are indeed products of the Middle Passage. From a spiritual perspective, we are still with Yemaya, with the aid of Yemaya Olokun, going through the cleansing process of the Middle Passage spiritually, so that we can truly usher in greater clarity, greater awareness, greater healing, greater manifestation ultimately and in the long run.
Yes.
We have about 3 minutes left in the live show. Indeed, you are welcome to questions, comments, and requests at area code 347-215-8967. If you are not already on the line, I don't believe Block Talk Radio is going to allow you to dial in at this point, so you will need to continue to listen in the archive. But for those of you who are on the lines, and there are many on the lines, if you do have a question or comment, do press the number one. We'll be glad to address that. Otherwise, I will allow Baba to give his concluding remarks, and then we'll just move forward and invite you to join us again next week here at high noon, U.S. Central Standard Time for the Power Lunch and EFI Wednesdays here on Blog Talk Radio. Again, it will be myself and hopefully Baba or Gumwa. Ojalola Ifa Sakin is away, so he won't be here for at least another week or two. But we do appreciate your being a part of this experience and being a participant in this experience. And, of course, Baba, I will allow you to say what you will at this point as we move into archive.
Well, I definitely give such thanks for the opportunity to be here, to participate and share whatever wisdom that Ifa and Uri and the ancestors have given. And the one last sentiment that I would like to share is, you know, just going back and reinforcing this importance of slowing down in Orisha lifestyle and really slowing down for the purpose of being able to internalize the wisdom and the blessing and the medicine of your transformation. Everything tempts us to go forward so fast, or even go left or right and go backwards so fast, because it seems like the action itself is going to give us some kind of a gratification. But Yifa has already seen that as well, and has given us some wisdom about how to address that impulse to be continuously moving and dodging and getting out of different situations. And this Yifa tells us that we knelt down and we chose our destinies. It's not until we get into the world that we become, that we get into a hurry. So, you know, our destiny is divided or has many aspects. So, you know, destiny could be considered Uri as your destiny, but or Akunleyan would also be, you know, a different dimension of destiny. That's what we kneel and are given in heaven. And then Adayeba is what we meet in the world. And it's when we get to the world that we get in a hurry, that we want things to manifest quickly, that we get impatient, we get frustrated, and then we start to commit errors. But Ifa tells us that we can never, our destiny can never be rechosen in our lifetime. Who you are is who you are is who you are. That's not going to change. The only way that's going to change is if we are reborn, if we are we are transformed, you know. And this was the message that Ifa gave to Edgo, the one who would paddle humans from heaven to the earth. He was asked to make a sacrifice, and he complied. And so I really pray that the people who are here on the show with us or listening to the show at their different times will find it within themselves to slow down the thinking, slow down the emotions, slow down the behavior, and internalize the teachings and the wisdom of your own internal spirit. And wherever you can seek wise counsel, wherever you can get the proper guidance and direction that will help you to take small steps and have a big impact, please do so. Reach out. You will not be sorry for seeking the kind of guidance and direction that you need to actually create the changes in your life. I myself am at obafemio.com. You can also be reached at on the phone at 510-485-2336. And, of course, you have where the Divine Prince will be able to give you insights into where to best reach him. But I just pray that everybody who really needs help will seek it out and will follow through so that we can have more people live in the medicine of profitable, smooth-running destiny. Ashe.
Ashe. Indeed, Ashe. Again, we are always humbled, honored, appreciative of each and every one in your divine, all-blessed presence here in this squared circle of gods and goddesses for the Power Lunch, Hoodoo, New Orleans Voodoo Secrets and Recipes, and, of course, Ifa Wednesdays, here on Wednesdays on the Power Lunch. As I was mentioning earlier in the show, in reality, nothing new has been created since the beginning. There is only the Ashe. And through its consistent movement, reorganization, and realignment, is made manifest the endless expressions of the womb of infinite possibility. Orisha Obatala is one of the divine beings called into existence directly by Olofi Damare. The name Olofi is used more here in Lokomi than in Yoruba, where it's generally Olodumare. But both cosmologies believe that Obatala was among the first heavenly being to manifest in the Ashe. So before Obatala was commissioned to reorganize this part of the Ashe, the earth was ruled by the female deity Olokun, who rules over the vast expanses of water and wild marshes, a gray region with no living things in it, either creatures of the bush or vegetation. The place where Obatala first set foot on planet Earth is universally agreed by practitioners of Ifa to be the city of Ile Ife in Yorubaland, Nigeria, West Africa. It is here that Obatala began the work of organizing the form of the human being based upon the wisdom of Olofi Domare. Olofi Domare apportioned part of his ashe to Obatala, who in turn fashioned the human being and then called upon Olodumare to come and breathe life into them, which Olodumare did. Not only did Obatala fashion the human being, but this sentient spiritual force also authored the blueprint for our ecosystem that would govern and sustain all life in this region of Ashe. Obatala is known as the king of the white cloth, as he is always dressed in impeccable white clothes. He is a symbol of peace and purity. He is the father of mankind, the mother of mankind, and the messenger of Olofi. In Nigeria, he is also known as Orisha Inla. Obatala, Orisha Obatala, is believed to control the mind, the consciousness, in all thought, hence the expression Iwo ni Oluwa Awo Ori, you are the owner of the mysteries of the head. Ibasi Orisha Obatala, homage to the Orisha Obatala. Until next time, please do continue to join me here at High Noon U.S. Central Standard Time for the Power Lunch, Hoodoo, New Orleans Voodoo Secrets and Recipes. On Sundays, Congo Square Preservation Society. On Wednesdays, Ifa Wednesdays. Remembering that all is truly and indeed a blessing. If you can just see beyond the veils, for it's all just a test, an illusion, one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. Ashe.
Aga yu jola nyo. Aga yu jola nyo, baba, fela inya, fela yo.
Aga yu jola nyo. Aga yu jola nyo, baba, fela inya, fela yo.
Aga yu jola nyo. Aga yu jola nyo, baba, fela inya, fela yo.
Aga yu jola nyo. Aga yu jola nyo.
Yo jola nio baba se la inya se la yo
aga yo jola nio aga yo jola nio baba se la inya se la
yo aga yo jola nio aga yo jola
Oh.
tere imoba, tere moba, tere agayu tere.
Tere imoba, tere moba, tere
insola tere.
Lupe Baralupe,
a las dos UM y el Changó, Capo, Capio y Sile, que la bendición de Neto Rodrigo Banyoko, Valentín Afonso, Osvaldo Viabo, Changó Gualú, Eniola y Farola, Camilo Oviedo, Changó Ley, el Changó Dina, Atequi Ciego, Osvanico Sola, Valentín Afonso, Bobo Arao Nude, Víctor Casanova, y toda la ciencia de Changó en Belén Solo Dumare. Cabio Sile.
Oh, no, 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 no.